Lineouts. Racks.
Halls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles. Dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
A little shift in focus this week, Brendan. We're changing competitions from the URC to the Challenge Cup. Of course, none of South Africa's teams made it into the Champions Cup. But before we move into the Challenge Cup and the round of 16, it's probably worthwhile just to look back at last week's action in the URC. Some interesting matches, some interesting results as well, and some interesting individual performances. All in all, a bit of a mixed bag, but I mean, I think from a South African perspective, there probably have a few perplexed coaches and fans out there.
Yeah, I must have been not a good weekend at all for South African rugby. I mean, if you think the Bulls, who were expected to win anyway against Zebre at Loftus, were the only team that won. I think if we go through the individual performances, I think the one, two that shocked me was the one in Durban where the Sharks lost to a second-string Leinster team. The Lions, of course, were just catastrophic. They're just terrible. Horrific, I think, is what Jacques Ferreira called them, called the performance. And we'll hear from him a bit later as well. We'll play his audio. But just I think we're going to talk here maybe about a bit of a bigger point here, first of all. Now, it'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on it then, because I've been chatting to a couple of people, and I feel... I wrote a thing last week saying South African teams have lost their knockout blow. We don't see our teams dominate when we've got a team on the rack. But it's actually this week, I've actually gone further, and I'm more concerned that this is quite a wake-up call for us, because if you look at it, Leinster came down to Durban with a second string. They sent Jordy Barrett and Erkie Snyman home. It was an even weaker team that then played the Bulls. And they beat the Sharks team, which had how many World Cup winners, how many Springboks in them? And I think what we're seeing here is a combination of a couple of things. One, overseas teams are learning. We saw it last year when Glasgow beat the Bulls in the final. We've seen that other teams have come to South Africa, Northampton beating the Bulls as well. And our teams don't have the same sort of progress overseas. We struggle to win overseas. In fact, I'm trying to think a team has beaten a top Irish team, Munster or Leinster away from home, or has beaten a Glasgow Warriors away from home. We seem to do well against like the Welsh teams and the Italians, at times Edinburgh. But yeah, the Munster, Leinster, Glasgow, sort of, those are the three top teams in the competition for me over the last couple of years. And we don't put in the same performances overseas. Whereas they've learned coming to South Africa. Munster and Glasgow have won at Loftus. Those teams win more up here on the high veld than they do, we win on that side. And it's something that really concerns me, because we're not making progress in our overseas. If you look at the Stormers game against Ulster as well, they had that game in their control. And through their own sheer, I don't want to say stupidity, but maybe I should say stupidity. Sasha Feinberg and Gomez.
That word did spring to mind. I must admit.
That shoulder charge that got him a yellow card, which is off the ball, is a coach killer, because you look there, John Dobson doesn't have it to pull out, but I was frustrated, because I just thought, you've got everything in your favor and you go throw it away. So maybe tell me first of all, do you think I'm wrong in terms of the fact that we haven't made progress overseas?
No, I take your overall point. There's also, at the start of the show, when I spoke about individual performances, I think what we have noticed, and you kind of expect this from rookie players who have just joined the URC, and not test players, guys who have played for the Springboks, where they have these moments where there's just a lack of clarity in their heads, and they do things that they wouldn't probably do while playing for Rassie Erasmus. I mean, if you just isolate last weekend, for instance, and it's happened before, where they do something that you could say a little bit out of character, but something that they clearly wouldn't do if they were playing for the national team. If you add all of those things up, what then tends to happen is that your franchise or your team on the day tends to suffer. I mean, even watching the Bulls, and as compelling as they were going forward, and we've seen this early in the season as well, especially at Loftus, when they build up ahead of steam on, you know, in attack, very difficult team to defend against. They play with momentum and they tend to stampede teams. And we saw that last week. But then in the same game, they don't just have moments where there's a lapse in concentration focus. They have these little pockets where there's definitely a drop in intensity. And what that obviously brings about, especially against teams who are happy to counterattack and sit back and who want to play a loose game. And again, in this case, it was obviously Zebre. I was happy to make it as helter-skelter as possible. They tend to profit. So they scored, 24 points. And that is a concern for me as far as the Bulls are concerned. I mean, they may have a high position up the URC points table. They may yet clinch second place and host a semi-final. But the way they go about their business is concerning in that if they don't tighten the screws, if they don't play with intensity across 80 minutes, I doubt you're going to win three knockout games. One, if not two, that may be away from home and go on and win the competition. That's just the Bulls, and they probably, you know, almost our best example. Then you have the Sharks with that galaxy of stars who still doesn't seem to gel, and they still rack with inconsistent performances. And it is concerning that there are a number of Springboks there that aren't playing to the level that one has become accustomed to, certainly not the level that we see them achieve across 12 or 13 tests a year.
I think let's start with the Bulls. And just to echo what you're saying there, I think you're 100% right in that, because what often happens with them is they, as you said, these moments, these lapses in concentration. And what seems to happen, especially this season, has been a big problem for them, is that they have these two, three penalties in a row that they give away. And that suddenly brings the opposition into their 22, and they're on the back foot, and often they concede tries from that. Last season, they had it where they built up these big leads, and then they sort of let the opposition come back in the second half. This season, it's been more sort of, they've been better in terms of closing out a game, but what they haven't been good at is this whole thing of just stopping the rock. Because they'd, often what would happen, there'd be a kickoff, penalty from the kickoff, penalty in their 22, and the opposition would score. And suddenly they would be, their whole sort of dominance would be dissipate. And so I think they've definitely got concerns. They played better away from home. And I think this next couple of weeks is going to be a huge test for them. Not necessarily the Challenge Cup, which we're going to get to, but after that, in weeks 3 and 4, which is normally the most difficult week of any tour, as the Super Rugby teams always used to tell us, they go to Munster and then to Glasgow. And those are two vitally important games for them, not just from a results point of view, because I think they could still probably survive losses in that and still make the top four. But in terms of if they do lose both those games, they've probably got to go back somewhere there for a semi-final if they make it that far. The likelihood is they might be playing a semi and a final away from home. And so Jake said it on Saturday, and maybe it's a good time just to play that clip as well, on how this is a litmus test for them, this tour, it's quite good that he said it's quite good starting with knockout rounds, because it almost becomes a knockout round tour for them. So,
in fact, that probably speaks to the point I was making earlier, because you need to tighten up. You need to make sure you play in the right areas and cut your errors or minimize them as far as you can. And yeah, I mean, he did speak of this tour being a dress rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to Jake's words and then we can carry on.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a case of take my best players. Is we on tour for 4 weeks, and we don't have I don't think any club's got the ability to fly teams back and forth. So, you know, even if I wanted to take another team and rest some guys, it would be logistically impossible. So, you know, I'm going to take a team, and I'm not sure how we'll start next week. As in, you know, if you look at their games, they play today as well, and then I'll make a call about which sort of team we need to put on the field. The conditions are different. I don't think it'll be as open as this game was today. But so yeah, I mean, we don't have the luxury of flying teams back and forth. Once we go now, we got to almost start preparing for 4 weeks on tour. And it could be five. You know, if you win against Bayonne and you win against, you know, the next round, you then stay for the semi-finals, which is after the Glasgow game, which is not an easy tour at all. To have Munster, Glasgow, and then a semi-final of Europe is a tough 3 weeks. So I'll have to I'll have to think about and box a little bit differently in terms of how we want to get to the back end of the tour. But obviously, I can't start planning about what happens in week 4 and 5 when we haven't got through week 1 and 2.
I think he's got a point there, but I think this, yeah, it's difficult. I can understand how difficult it is to plan for a tour like this, because you don't know if you're going to be there in week 2. And then after that, if you make it all the way through and you're successful in the EPCR, then week 5 becomes a 5-week tour, because you have to come back for the semi-final, yeah, of the EPCR. So it's a strange tour for the Bulls, and how they manage it's going to be very interesting to see.
It'll be a quarter final,
yes, yeah.
The next one, yeah.
Yeah, that's the next week. And then if they go to Munster, Glasgow, and then the week afterwards.
Sorry, I need to correct myself, Eva. The point is, if they win away from home this weekend and the Lions win away from home, they play the Lions.
Yeah, exactly. And then the quarterfinal, and then they've at the end of that, the Glasgow Munster, they have a semi-final there. That is the next week. So this could easily become a 5-week tour. And I mean, I don't think any side would probably expect to win 5 games away from home in a row. But that's what they're faced with now. And that's a challenge for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this. Just on the
show. It is the Challenge Cup, isn't it?
It is the Challenge Cup, but after that, it's another challenge. Anyway, but on the Sharks, I think you hit on the nail there that they don't gel. If you look at that team on paper, the amount of World Cup winners and Springboks in that team, the quality that they've got in that team, the Galacticos, as they like to talk about it. Now, I know the first thing Sharks supporters are going to say, when and they have said to me, is yes, but they're missing Evan Etzebeth, and yes, but they're missing Lucanio Ann. But even without them, I mean, Jorenzo Juries and Andre Esthuizen is not a bad, is really probably most clubs in the world rugby would probably want that midfield. You know, and you look at the rest, you got a front row that's a Springbok front row, a World Cup winning front row. You've got so many stars there. You've got the World Cup, double World Cup winning captain thing. And to me, you can say Jock, the guy on the other side, knows a bit about defense. Jock Ninava has coached a bit of defense, but yeah, at the end of the day, with that amount of stars, the Sharks play more like individuals than they do as a team. And I can imagine that's very frustrating for John Plumtree. And we're not close enough to the team to know exactly what the problem is there. But it's becoming more and more apparent that maybe some of those stars are saving themselves for the Springbok season. Maybe some of them don't give 100%. I don't want to make the accusation, but...
Yeah, well, you could make the counter-argument and say, is the coaching staff at the Sharks harnessing the best? Are they getting the best out of those players? So that probably is a bit of a two-way street, because those players don't put in those performances for the box.
Exactly. And I mean, let me try that again. Bongi Mvanambi is the perfect example there. He's an absolute beast for the Springboks. But at the Sharks, yeah, he disappears in games. And you sort of wonder why that's the case. And I don't know, whatever's happening, something's not right. And we've said it before about other games, they're not getting the best out of the teams. And I think just in the bigger picture, the team the Sharks want to be, their ambition and the performances they put out are miles apart at the moment. And I'm hoping that changes over time, because sometimes it just takes time to change those things. But There's certainly some big question marks above them at the moment.
That word ambition brings us quite neatly to the Lions. As a franchise, you have to ask, what ambition do they have? Because it looks like a season of another one of a rinse and repeat. I mean, we've seen the previous 3 installments of URC where they have fallen short and not made it into the quarterfinals. They are now very much at their limit. I mean, if they win their remaining 4 games and get bonus points at all of them, that gets them to 50 lock points. 50 lock points last year didn't get them in. They got to 50, so they still missed out. Last year, I think 48, or sorry, the year before, 48 was the threshold to get into the top 8, and the year before that, it was 50. So even to get 18 points from their last 4 now is going to be a tall order. A lot will have to go in their favor. In fact, other teams probably will have to do them a favor or two if they're going to get into the top 8. So it looks like 4 failed years, basically, under the structure.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with those facts, because, yeah, and I've been rather critical, as you know, of the Lions of the last couple of episodes. And what I saw on Saturday night was really one of the poorest performances, poorest halves of rugby I've seen from the Lions in years. There was nothing. There was nothing you could say. They didn't handle the conditions. They were just poor in ball retention. I mean, you can just go through everything. As I say, Jacques Ferry put it as horrific. But in the bigger question, you've got to ask, because they have got good players. If you go individually in that team, and I want to get to this point, because I want to make this point already, but a good team, a happy team, tends to keep players. The Lions lose players every year, right? Now, I don't know. Maybe they are a happy bunch of players. It doesn't look like it the way they play. They are so inconsistent that we actually don't know what to expect one week to the next. And they certainly have the talent. They've got some great, great, great youngsters coming up. But when you see in a week where they concede 42 points in one half, and then in the same week you see that their star player, Edwolf and the Mavis, going to the Sharks, you still got to, and Maurice Lowe is also leaving, and you start hearing these stories, you've got to wonder, behind the scenes, are they that a happier team? Is the coaching team the right one? That's a very fair question after 4 years. 4 years ago, they fired all the assistant coaches and they kept the head coach, who after a couple of failed seasons, and so now we're what, in season six, where the assistant coaches have been there for 4 seasons. And I often feel it's difficult to place the blame on the assistant coaches because, yeah, everybody's got their job. And if there was a specific area, if it was the scrum, we could say Julian Redlinghuis is not doing his job. But the scrum's good. If it was the lineouts, if it was the defense, but it's not necessarily any of those aspects. It's just across the board that there are problems for the Lions. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll say this about that last performance. I mean, in that first half, we know the Warriors are a very, very well coached team. I mean, Franco Smith is an accomplished coach. No doubt about that. So when they attack, they do so with gusto. I mean, the speed, the ruck ball speed that they're able to generate just gives them so many options. And it was almost as if the Lions, after a while, in their heads, they thought what I just expressed, that these guys are just too good, because there was like an air of resignation. So, okay, there's another try. They beat us there. And the shoulders went down. And it was, yeah, you know, the fact that they conceded 42 is that's pretty abysmal. You know, I don't know. I can't speak to how happy or unhappy they are, but it's often said that, you know, when teams defend well, it's a sign of unity and brotherhood and camaraderie. And we didn't see that in the first half.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think there's some real questions there. But I think in a larger point, you got to ask yourself, what is their ambition? Because if you look at the Sharks and the Bulls, you know what their ambition is. You know that.
Yeah, they make it clear. Yeah.
Yeah. They make no bones about it. Marco Mazzotti, in fact, crows it, shouts it from the rooftops. You look at the Stormers and you know that they're very ambitious, but they've been going through this administration period. They've got now new owners.
And they've been happy to put their hand up and say, okay, this is what we visit.
Yeah. And so they're getting there. You know where they want to get to. With the Lions, I'm afraid I don't know. And I know we've tried to get Altman, the owner, Altman others, onto the program, onto the podcast. I just don't know what their ambition is. At times you get the feeling they're quite happy to be the fourth team in South Africa.
Are you saying making up the numbers?
Well, yeah, I am. Because you get that feeling about them. And Lions fans can tell, who's listening to this, can tell me if they disagree. Because I've got one or two Lions fans who come say hello to Ellis Park whenever we're there and who send me text messages out of frustration and anger. And yeah, I wouldn't be able to read some of those text messages on this podcast, how angry they are. But I think they're more at this moment, Afrikaans word, moedeloos. They don't know what this team wants to achieve. And I think it's a fair question at the moment.
Well, that brings us to their game on Friday night.
Well, maybe we should listen to Jacques Ferry just talk about how they process that. First, this first, Morne van den Berg has joined the team. And he spoke to us yesterday about just what it's like coming into a team environment like that and how the team takes it very personally.
Yes, I think it felt personal. You could tell from, I think each and every one of the boys, really, if you played, if you didn't play, you really took that loss personal, and you really had a good look at yourself. Yeah, just a great reflection of where you are. What does this mean to you? What does playing the game mean to you? Because yes, I don't think anybody would say that was good enough or acceptable. So I think it's a mind shift. It's a mindset. We can't go from a good team 3 weeks ago beating the Sharks to being a very bad team, like a very, very bad team last weekend. So it's a total mind shift. We know we are a good team. We know we are a lot better than that. And yeah, I think the boys really took it on well. Like I said, there was a lot of reflection, and yeah, we're ready to tackle this week. Yeah, I think it's personal responsibility. I think our captain, Franke, really spoke well this week in terms of just being focused. I think the best players in the world, you stay focused in every single second, every single situation, and you don't lose that focus. I think at stages in the season, we've lost focus at the wrong times, leaking in way too easy tries, just giving away momentum when we worked hard to get momentum. So it's taking those learnings. And like I say, looking at yourself and really taking the responsibility to stay in the moment, to be focused and to be disciplined, to do what the moment asks you.
I interviewed him a week or two ago, and he's obviously a very proud player. I mean, you could see after that defeat a couple of weeks ago, personally, he took it because they were the game against the Sharks. You could see how gutted he was. So for him now to get back into that team and, you know, sort of, it's probably as a Springbok, it's probably almost incumbent on him to be part of the senior group that sort of lifts spirits, because that's a process that will need to happen this week. And in many ways, I think the Lions will be better this week. They can't be as poor as they were last week. But by the same token, I think Edinburgh will probably also be a bit better this week, because they started to reintegrate players who were involved in Six Nations, and they will probably shift a gear to up this weekend. So that could make for a good game, but I mean, the Lions will still be very much up against it.
Yeah, if you think how different it is, they played Edinburgh in, I think, their first game or first game, and they put, 50-odd on Edinburgh at the Spark? And how different the feeling is this with a game ahead of this game, and all the optimism that there was after that game. That's quite a stark difference to me. Let's listen to Jacques quickly now. Let him explain how they turned this around after a defeat like that.
Yeah, the thing is about rugby, you know, week is a long, long time of rugby. So I think even the players and the coaches, you know, if we could have played today, you know, after last weekend's performance, every single player and coach would have said, let's play. You want to get onto the field again and make right what we did wrong on Saturday. So for us, it's about getting back on the field, getting back Friday night, and getting back to winning ways. I think, like, no player goes onto the field to play bad. So we just need to press the reset button. It's a new competition. Well, it's not a new competition. It's an EPCR game, and it's knockout stages. So for us, it's going out Friday night and doing what we love to do and doing it to the best of our abilities. Because, yeah, I think each and every player or in management sitting here wants to do well. So for us, it's a very important game on Friday night.
Either way, I think it's an uphill battle for the Lions. It's certainly Edinburgh as a team they certainly can beat. You would give them a good chance on the best of days. But, you know, after that, you need to see some sort of response from them. And I'm not sure it's going to be enough against an Edinburgh team with all the Scottish internationals back. If I had to choose them, I'd say the Lions are probably going to exit this week.
Yeah, fair call. And probably by double digits.
Yeah, I mean, but one nice thing about Edinburgh's game against Benetton last week, I don't know if you saw the slow motion of Pierce Schoeman's show and go, and then, yeah, taking the gap and taking four players with him. Pierre's been on this podcast before. He's a great guy. We're going to get him back again as well. But good to see him showing a bit of magic there for Edinburgh. Still one of my favorite players to watch as well.
How do the Bulls approach Lyon? I mean, do they will probably make changes. There's some freshen up the squad a little bit, but then also, you know, you're preparing for some really tough URC battles in the weeks ahead. How do they approach this?
Well, I think the first thing is that they're being very secretive about the touring squad that they've taken over. Jake has been, he doesn't really release injury lists. He doesn't want the opposition to know. Although I find that quite funny at times because you and I both know it takes a couple of calls to the right people, and you probably know the team on a Tuesday and the Bulls team on a Tuesday if you really wanted to. Players do talk to each other. They do communicate to their agents. There's lots of ways that these teams come out. So we don't know what team they've got, but my sense would be that they would take the best available team. There's a question mark about guys like Kanan Moody, Johan Huysen, Kobus Wiese, all should be more or less a week or so away back or back now. Whether they're on the tour or not, we don't know. Cameron Honeycomb should be back on the tour this week. He was withdrawn on Friday before the Zebra game, but the sense is he will go on tour. So I would suggest that they've got a very good team. But looking at Bayonne's they're fourth in the top 14. They're not a bad team at all that they're playing. If you think they've got the likes of Uzair Kasim, who's well known to South Africans, used to play for the Cheetahs, Manu Tuilagi in the midfield, and then Fasundo Bosch, the Argentinian hooker, and if I get his name right, Tavita Tilavi, the Tongan prop. So those are just the guys who played last week, and they beat Lyon 28-14 in that game. Yeah, so they're definitely not a bad side to play. And as we all know, French teams at home are rather tough customers. You've got the crowd involved, they're small stadiums, the whole town gets involved. It's a tough place to play.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly won't be playing sailing, even if the Bulls go with what in their minds their best available 23. So, you know, I would still expect them to win if they play to script.
I would hope so, because I think we need the South African team to win. And they do, when they are taking the Challenge Cup seriously. So, yeah, that my hope is that they are going to field their best side. And hopefully with their best side, they should be able to win there. Of course, the alternative to that is from a URC standpoint, probably a better thing for them from a URC point of view is to exit the competition, have a week in abroad and then go and face Munster and Glasgow with a rested squad that's been there for a week training together. Mm-hmm. That might be the easy road, but it's not the best road.
Yeah. I suppose. I always get the sense with Jake that he's happy to cut his losses, you know, at certain parts of the season. So, I mean, they're going to be in the Champions Cup next year anyway. So maybe this is a chance to, you know, rest some of the big guns, but I suppose also, I mean, you say they are secretive about their squad, so maybe he surprises us.
Yeah, well, look, what I'd like to see and what we spoke about earlier on in this podcast, I mean, it's just South African teams putting up better performances overseas. We tend not to do that, so I want the Bulls, even if it does that Bayonne outplay them and they do win, I'd want the Bulls to put in a very good performance over there. So I'm going to call the Bulls win, but I think it's going to be an incredibly close game as well.
Mm. I'm with you. I think the Bulls, if it gets tight, Bulls doing a tight one. We're trying to sort of guess or second guess what Jake's thought process might be in terms of, you know, the ambition in this competition. So if he's got one eye on the URC, should they win this weekend, then it's Edinburgh probably in the next round. And then in terms of semi-final, you've got potentially Montpellier's old club. You've got Gloucester, you've got Poe, or you've got Bar.
Yep.
So you need to seriously weigh up whether you a knockout blow there. But yeah, I mean those are things for him to weigh up.
Yeah, and especially after by that stage they'd be on tour for 5 weeks. So yeah, there's gonna be a lot of players who are gonna be missing home, and a lot of those things come into play, mental things in a squad. So but you can only handle 1 week at a time, and I suppose that's all they can really do at this moment. Looking at
the other side of the draw, yeah, I was about to say the other side of the draw. If the Sharks play to, I was going to say four, if they play to potential, it's an easier half of the draw. If you look at, they've got Lyon, they will play, if they get past this one, they play either the Ospreys or Scarlets. And then further up on the same part of the draw, you've got Connacht or Cardiff, you've got Perpignan or Racing. That for me is a much easier path.
Yeah, but I think you got to ask yourself, are the Sharks taking this seriously? They've won the competition. They're the defending champions.
Are you saying they've ticked this box already? They're not interested?
Well, I just get the sense, and I suppose we won't know now. We'll know when they name their team. But if that team is not their best team, then you can say then they're concentrating on the URC. Then it's quite clear they have no ambition in the EPCR Challenge Cup. It's a strange one. It's a tough one. But yeah, you can't fault them for it. They have won the competition. Is there the motivation to win it again?
So yeah, that's pretty much it. We've got an interesting lineup of matches. We spoke about the South Africa ones, but there are obviously a couple of other ones to look out for. I think most notably there's Po against Bath and then Montpellier and Gloucester in the same half of the draw as the Bulls and the Lions. Those are certainly two matches to look out for.
They definitely are. And there's only five or six URC teams left in the Champions Cup. All have tough games this weekend. We don't really have time to go through those, but they also going to be tough games for them. And be interesting to see if anybody can stop a French domination of this competition as well. That's it for us this week. We'll chat to you next week. It's been a good one. Have a great weekend and enjoy the rugby.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacarandafm.com or the Jackpot app.